Can you imagine listening to a song that was comprised only of drums? Or just drums and bass? Without something over top, it just seems incomplete. That would be like, well, listening to radio with no alternative or community programming. That's why you have it tuned to 99.1 FM, CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit. And listen online at cjam.ca. Opinions and views in the following program are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM.
It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are. Your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right.
This is Big JD and Lippo, and I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Pretty good.
Glad to hear that.
Every morning is different now, the intro.
Well, would you like it to be the same?
Yeah, well, it normally used to be, but do I recall what happens when the music stops? No.
When the music's over.
How's life in the big city? The
big city of Windsor?
Yeah.
It's not that big.
No, I guess not.
It doesn't take long to drive from one end to the other.
It doesn't. It takes about, 5 minutes, maybe 10 tops.
Whereas if you go to someplace like Chatham, which is a smaller city, to get from one end to the other, just because they put the river down, they didn't put the river, actually, they put the city around the river. And it takes a while to get from one end to that city.
Yeah, they made it difficult.
Well, people want to be near the water.
Unless you're cruising down the 401.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Whereas there is a river that runs next to Windsor, but not right down the middle of it.
Right.
And we can see it from where we sit.
It runs down the middle of Windsor and Detroit.
Right. It's the thing that separates us.
And it's called the Detroit River.
And this is your geography lesson.
101.
For the South, Southwest Frontier.
Is that how that works?
Who owns it? Detroit?
Yeah.
No, of course not. It's like saying Bell River owns the Bell River. They don't own the Bell River. The Bell River goes through.
But is the Detroit River American or?
Half of it is.
Half of it only.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is it American?
So we can go jump in there and swim halfway and not have to worry about
customs,
showing
immigration guys.
Your ID.
Don't have to interrogate you halfway through.
We will interrogate you and you will like it.
How come they're not set up in the middle of the river? That's where they should be, right?
Well, they are to some degree. They have the.
They're on the banks.
Well, they have the Coast Guard cruising up and down.
They do, yes.
And they got the cameras. Patrolled.
There's the cameras that are set up along the river as well.
Are there cameras at the border now?
On the other side, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
On the U.S. side.
Yep.
Okay. Because people try to get over there. Nobody's coming here. Nobody cares to come here.
Well, they
unless
do.
They're driving and gambling.
They care, but we just don't care if they come. Whereas
right.
the Americans
okay, sure,
don't
yeah.
want people swimming into the U.S. just in case they're terrorists.
Just in case they're not Americans.
Well, supposedly there's such a thing as U.S. terrorists, right?
Well, of course. Now that, we know that because of the NDAA.
That's right, NDAA, exactly, which we've talked about a
couple
weeks
ago. Now we know there are U.S. terrorists as well.
That's right.
We didn't know that before, did we?
Well, it's what we wanted to call them. It's all marketing. George Bush said, we're having a war on something, and we're going to call it terrorists.
A marketing ploy.
It is a marketing ploy, absolutely.
I like that.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
And here we are in the newsroom.
In the newsroom. What do you got for news for us today, Big JD?
Well, one thing is the recent shooting at Chardon High School in Ohio. Apparently five, I guess, students injured. Somebody just, a student open firing on, is it open firing or opening fire? I'd say opening fire, I guess. Just everybody's having breakfast at the school in the morning and a student stands up and starts firing. Craziness.
That is crazy. Did you go to school and have breakfast or did you have breakfast and then went to school?
Yeah, there's a good question. That was a while back. Let me dig deep for a second.
I don't remember having breakfast at school ever. Just saying.
I'm pretty sure that I always had breakfast at home.
Because there's breakfast programs now, and there was not breakfast programs when I was a kid.
And now are you talking like grade school or high school?
Both.
Yeah.
There was no...
No, there were no programs in place like there are today. But they did have school cafeterias. And I don't honestly think that the cafeterias really had breakfast, you know, or set up for that or started that earlier. You know what I mean?
No.
You might be able to get a little breakfast at lunchtime, but...
If you'd like to have french fries and gravy.
Yeah.
And pepper.
I always thought the food was good, though.
Of course like you did. You're a teenager.
Salisbury steaks and french fries.
Just grease bomb stuff. Yeah. They probably get arrested for selling that stuff nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think that some of the schools probably still do, though.
What are you giving my kids?
Yeah, who knows?
It's brain food, isn't it? Grease is brain food.
Well.
Because I know when I'm really hungover and I eat something greasy, my brain starts.
Feeling better?
Feeling better, yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's just because we're used to eating that kind of stuff.
Who is?
And your brain knows that.
I know you're not used to eating that stuff.
Your brain knows that, you know.
I'm not all that used to eating.
This is the stuff I'm used to. But when I was younger, I did. We had a Cinnabon place right down the street, man. I lived there.
The Cinnabon place.
Yeah, TJ Cinnabon. Some tasty stuff, man. My buddy Mark would come and pick me up in his car, and we'd go right there, and we'd always get them. They'd give us one of the... squeeze things of the icing to bring to our table, and we just load them up, man. Anyway, every fork full.
More news.
Oscar winners.
The Oscars were this past Sunday. Did you watch it? I did not watch. It's funny. I watched the Grammys, which I think is a joke, and the Oscars, I think, is at least has a little bit more credibility to it than the Grammys do. Did you watch it? Yes? No? Maybe so?
I did see some of it because Lana watched it, and we can just let people know that Best Picture was The Artist, which was that black and white silent film.
What?
And, I mean, that's all been done before.
The Artist is an actually black and white silent film. I never knew that. Come on. And it won the Oscar for the Best Picture?
Yeah. And Best Actor, actually. Jean Dujardin for The Artist.
Dean Dujardin.
Yeah, there you go. You could do that better than me, I'm sure. Meryl Streep. I say Streep. Some people say Streep. Meryl Streep.
I never heard that.
That's a throat thing. Anyway, she won, took the Best Actress, which was it's cool. She's won it, and she's been nominated like 17 times and won, I think, maybe 9 times. Or
she's got a bunch of Oscars on her mantelpiece.
She does.
Or wherever
she wouldn't mind one of those. All right, on the show today, we're talking about alternative energy sources.
Like the?
Green energy, solar power, wind turbine power.
Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to be talking about the cafeterias at schools.
Oh, yeah.
Energy sources.
There's some energy. And green energy, too. Yeah. You never know what color your food's going to be. Renewable energy, which comes from natural sources such as sun, wind, rain, tides, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, our electricity is generated from the Niagara Falls. So can't that be considered
it is.
Natural?
Yes, it is.
Because it starts that way.
Our electricity is not produced by Niagara Falls.
Well, somehow that gets all factored in, doesn't it? Into the grid?
Yeah, it's in the grid, and we do get our energy from the grid, but I'm not sure that we as Windsorites get our electricity specifically from Niagara Falls. But it's all part of the grid, which is the Northern Ohio Valley, Southern Ontario. It's all part of the grid, and I think Quebec's in there as well. So, you know, there's the Bruce
Peninsula.
No, the Bruce nuclear plant.
Okay.
That's another huge source of energy. But not in southwest Ontario, specifically in Kent and Essex County, there's a ton of turbines that are up. If you take a drive down the 401, there's one right across the street from my house.
Sure.
And there's like, I'm going to say 72, I think a friend of mine told me. The guy who actually sets up the sites where the turbines go, he's a friend of mine. He lives down the street. And he said there were 72 in that one phase of the I think it's called the Gosfield. No, it's the Cottam turbine project.
Mm-hmm.
The Gosfield's another one, and I'm not exactly sure how many is in that one. So we have hundreds of turbines just within Essex and Kent County, generating lots of electricity.
Right, and I have a guest coming on, you talking to me, I think at the end of March, mm-hmm. and he's actually CEO of the Solar Power Network based out of Toronto, and they do a lot of buildings and things like that, and talking about the Plaza Ontario project. And that's the flooring company out on Provincial Road.
Yes, it is.
Which they've loaded the rooftop with solar panels. So to discuss the Plaza Ontario solar panel project, please welcome the Solar Power Network's president and CEO, Peter Goodman. Peter, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you. Thank you, JD.
The panels not only power the plaza, but I understand they also return power back to the grid to supply area businesses and homes, correct?
That's correct. So effectively the way it works is, you know, the arrangement with Plaza Ontario and indeed our business model is about, you know, being tenants on these large industrial buildings, manufacturing buildings. You know, so we pay the building owners, so for example, at Plaza Ontario, we pay them a 20-year rent. And, you know, we can pay that in various forms, either upfront or at a monthly rental payment over 20 years. And, you know, that gives us access rights to that building. We then, in turn, apply for a 20-year contract with the Ontario Power Authority, who's administering this program, and then we raise the capital and build the array on the building rooftop. So we own the array and we own the electricity generation incentives mm-hmm. that come out of those solar panels. But in reality, that electricity, to your point, goes right back in grid. And you know, electricity follows the path of least resistance. So the first place it gets consumed, if it's needed, is in that very building, so in Plaza Ontario. And if right. we're generating more electricity than that building is consuming, then it will go to the next adjacent facility that is consuming at that moment.
Once again, Plaza Ontario, a flooring company located on Provincial Road here locally in Windsor, a 23,000 square foot rooftop that's now equipped with nearly 1,000 solar panels. What I want to ask you about that is that does the plaza run on solar power alone, or does it also require regular electrical power?
No, it's a great point. One of the one of the ways that the Ontario Power Authority has put a standard design out there for us to follow is that, you know, buildings like Plaza Ontario, and in fact the standard design is that they remain connected to the grid. And so they continue to be connected. They've got that umbilical cord, if you will, and they will continue to pay the same rates to, you know, in this case, Enwin, mm-hmm. as they did whether or not we're there. So they're connected. And all we've done is provided this parallel connection, if you will, and you know, which says that if we are generating electricity through a separate meter that we get paid on the basis of with our contract with the Power Authority and through Enwin, we've got this parallel connection, and if we're generating electricity, that electricity comes right back and it's used at Plaza Ontario. In the event that we're not, or we're not making enough, then they're still connected and they use Enwin's energy as they did previously.
Okay.
So yeah, if we're making too much, it goes to the adjacent buildings on that street, as we described. But they're never without, or they don't have to make that on-off switch in any way, shape, or form. In fact, nobody does. It's simply electricity following these paths of resistance, where if we're making it, they get it. If we're not, they continue to consume it.
Where can listeners find out more information about the Solar Power Network? Maybe a website?
Yeah, so at solarpowernetwork.ca. So from a building owner perspective, you know, in that flat roof category of, you know, minimum 10,000 square feet of unshaded rooftops, would love to speak to you. We right now there is no limit on the amount of buildings we can sign up with the Power Authority, at least when we're aware of any. And so we're continuing to sign up building owners. I think that, you know, we are creating jobs in the region. So, you know, from a hiring perspective, you know, we're working locally. We work through as well two key contractors, GSL Electrical and Mrs. Construction. And, you know, they are ramping up from a hiring perspective to you know, to as we get into the construction stage of this, you know, big increases in their workforce in second and third quarter of this year, and will continue into the next few years to build this out. So I think there's a lot of there's a lot of opportunity and reason to building owners from a revenue perspective and from a workforce perspective in the region. I think it's good news.
All right, good stuff. And once again, that's solarpowernetwork.ca. Peter Goodman, CEO of the Solar Power Network. Peter, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, my pleasure.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
All right, we heard from Peter Goodman, Solar Power Network CEO, about the Plaza Ontario project, but also before the break, you brought up the wind turbines. I guess in the end, it's kind of the same thing, but to get there, you know, what do you think about the difference between solar energy and wind energy, and the fact that one of them, I mean, is fairly inconspicuous on a rooftop,
right?
And the other are these big eyesores, possibly.
I think wind turbines will probably not be around much more. I don't think there's going to be a lot more implementation of them. I think a lot of company or a lot of municipalities wanted to get on the bandwagon to be perceived as being green and being ahead of the curve. Everybody doesn't want to be left behind. And I think that was the situation that happened in Essex County and also in Chatham-Kent. Why they put them up now? Because the government, for one thing, threw a bunch of money at it.
Yeah, sure.
And it's going to actually cost this generation of people more money for their electricity because of that initiative to do all that. Whereas turbines now, they're also being proposed to be put out east. And I know Anne Murray is a big, she's totally against it. Don't wreck our landscape with these turbines because it's too beautiful, whatever. Whereas where I live, I don't think that was really a big concern because it's flat and it's very boring looking. You know, there's no landscape.
What about those birds?
What about the birds?
Well, the birds fly into them and die.
No, birds fly into my front window and die too.
That's because it's too clean.
That's right. We try to dirty up our windows, but
Those turbines, isn't wind energy source from wind a great idea?
It is a great idea, and there's better implementations of taking the wind and turning it into electricity. Now they have their like little, you know how your throat has little cilia in it. Like little things that move back.
Yeah, I got some in there now.
Exactly. No, it's like hairs, little hairs in there. And I think your ear is the same way.
I got a hairball in my...
They have these concentration of these... They're just little towers. And I'm not exactly sure how high they are, but they basically wave in the wind. So there's a lot of give to them. So they just kind of bow back and forth. And this bowing motion creates energy as well. Instead of having something spin and noise being generated from it, it's just wind going through... It's like a tree with no leaves or branches on it. And it goes back and forth and it creates energy. I think that is the future of wind energy.
You heard it here first, folks.
No, well, maybe. I'm not sure. I read it somewhere and it seems like a great idea as opposed to these wind turbines, which when I open my door on a windy day, it is noisy.
If we could just get renewable energy from our hair blowing in the wind, it's going to be fantastic.
And now, Morning Show Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by, well, by us, Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And on the show this morning, some Canadian heavy metal, Anvil, from Plenty of Power, the title track, Plenty of Power. We'll be right back.
bulldozer with massive power. Feel a concrete to devour. Dig a landfill, bury a hit. If you don't do it, never will. Diesel engine, that's up your tool. Falling creature, that's fire fuel. Rock and rock, up the rock. All I wanna do is rock.
Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
All right, we're going to be talking about some green tech. And the folks over at the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, which I believe is in California, what they're trying to do is take the tobacco plant and not dry it and smoke it and use that as energy. What they're trying to do is, you're aware of biofuels, like they make corn, sure. They use corn to make ethanol. And basically that process takes they call it biomass, which is the whatever the crap that's left, whatever they do to it, mash it up or whatever. Whereas what they do with what they're trying to do with these tobacco plants is not create biomass in the first place. They want the energy to come directly from the plant itself. So what they're working on is a way to do that. And I think the tobacco plant is used because it's such a hardy plant. It grows in almost any condition. And it also...
People smoke it in almost any condition.
Yes, they do.
And then they're in almost any condition after they smoke it.
No, so. That's a different plant you're talking about.
Well, I know, but health-wise.
Which I'm surprised. I suppose they could probably do the same thing with hemp plants as well, which is another huge
But it'll cost more money.
To use hemp as opposed to tobacco. Yeah, tobacco is readily available. Anyway, they're saying that within 18 months, they're going to have a plant that they're going to be splicing up to get to a place where the tobacco plant that they grow in about 18 months is going to be the beginning of some viable source of petroleum. Mm-hmm. It's something to use to burn in our cars or, you know, to create engines running, basically, as opposed to drilling for oil and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting that they're using tobacco plants, I think. Good source of energy that we didn't know anything about.
So before you know it, we're going to be rolling our energy.
Did you roll that or did you burn it?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That brings up another topic that... is that you're done with that?
Yeah, if you wanted to throw in your little...
Not necessarily. Okay. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about something that's going to fuel our vehicles at some point in time.
Yes.
That's different than what we use now. Kind of touched on that a little bit, obviously, and I think my cousin actually has and I wouldn't know where to find it. I wrote a book on some type of a, you know, PDF short book type thing that he put on eBay about converting your vehicle to be able to accept what do you call it? Vegetable oil.
Biodiesel.
Yeah. Basically, how to convert your vehicle over for it. He says it's pretty easy.
It is pretty easy, and then
not a new vehicle. I don't think that's not going to be easy to do like it was.
Right. You want to retrofit your older vehicle, and then you just go to restaurants and buy their old used French fry grease.
Yeah, used grease.
Seriously, that's used exactly oil. What you're doing. You just pour it in and use it as gasoline.
Don't some gas stations still are equipped to give you that for people that are already converted over? I thought there were some places that were available that are equipped for that, gas stations.
I don't know. I never heard that myself. But
I know Willie Nelson was big into that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I can believe it,
for
sure.
I think he had some kind of a tour bus that ran on...
On biodiesel, yeah.
Veggie oil.
Sure. I know Adam Curry had a Mercedes Mercedes station wagon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was running on biodiesel as well.
Yep.
And come to think of it, I think he used to say something about getting his fuel at a gas station, but not getting gas at the gas station, but getting his biodiesel fuel to run his.
I'm pretty sure there were gas stations like that, and I would imagine still are, because I mean I'm sure there's a handful of people that have converted vehicles over or use those. Do you know anybody that put in place a greener environment at their
home? Yes, the drummer in my band, actually, Francis Mayhew, happily and proudly mention his name. He built a house recently, and what he did to conserve energy and to create energy is he has a geothermal in his basement, which basically has water that runs through it, and it's under the ground out in his backyard, like 900 yards or feet of pipe that run somewhere below the frost line. Mm-hmm. So that water is always at a constant temperature.
Right.
So that water comes in the summertime, and that's what cools his house. And it's a different kind of cold, too. It doesn't take as long to get cold, and it really cools you down. And in the wintertime, of course, that same temperature water, it doesn't have to heat up to a specific temperature. It starts at a good point, and so he saves energy that way. Plus, he has a turbine in his backyard, his own wind turbine.
Wow.
Yeah. So he creates energy there. I believe he sells the energy from the turbine back to the grid. Mm-hmm. Plus, he just had the south side of his house fitted with solar panels on his roof, which is in his backyard, which is perfect. So it's not really seen that much. And he uses that energy to use the stuff in his house. That's his electricity is from the roof.
Right.
So he's creating way more electricity than he needs, and he's hardly even using hardly any energy at all to begin with. But the energy that he is using is coming from the roof on his house.
Wow.
So he has no electricity bill. In fact, he gets a check from the electric company.
Nice.
That's very nice. I wish I could do that.
Why can't you?
Well, I can't put up a turbine in my backyard. I don't have a backyard big enough. His is like, he's got a huge backyard.
But you need a backyard to put a post in. The turbine's up in the air anyways.
Yes, it is. But there's, what do they call it? Clearances, variances, something. I think you got to have like 30 yards around the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Or even more. What if it falls down? It can't land on someone's house and stuff like that.
Well, it'll only land on yours.
And now it's time for Quotes and Quips.
And this week on Quotes and Quips, a little something that comes from R. Buckminster Fuller.
Buckminster Fuller.
You know him?
Well, he's referenced in a Jazz Butcher song, I know.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
He's referenced right here on the web as well.
Who R. Is
he? Buckminster
he
Fuller.
He was American architect, inventor, and futurist.
Born July 12th, 1895. Passed away in 1983.
How do you play a future anyway?
How do you what?
Play a future. He's a futurist, so I assumed he played the future. Like a pianist is a pianist. So a guitar player is a guitarist.
Okay.
He's a futurist.
Now I'm following you. I don't think I want to, but I am now. Birthplace, Milton, Massachusetts.
Milton, yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, he says, there is no energy crisis, only a crisis of ignorance.
That's correct. There is no energy crisis. This planet has more than enough energy to
That's
get.
That's right. We did all this.
I don't know if we did all this. It's the people in power who made energy. People realized early on.
That's what
on,
I meant by we, right?
People, but. Humans realized early on that energy was something that was going to control the world. And energy is also the thing that controls all the power. If you have the energy, you have the power.
On that note.
We'd like to thank everybody for listening to The Morning Show with Big JD and Lippo.
I have the power to hit the stop button.
We hope you have a great day, and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place, for Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
The opinions and views in the preceding program were those of the hosts and their guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJM FM.